Today's reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, and it's on page 1186 in the Church Bibles. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only to Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you give us. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Great, thanks a lot, Rufus. My name's Jonathan. I'm one of the pastors here at City. If you are new here, welcome. It's lovely to see you. I'm going to pray for us as we have a look at this first sermon in 1 Thessalonians. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we start this new series on the book of 1 Thessalonians, would you open our minds and ears and hearts to hear what you have to say to us, both individually and as a church? And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you how I became a real Christian. I started to go to Sunday school at the age of 3, and I carried on until roughly about the age of 11 when I became a follower of the Lord Jesus. And I realized that at that time, it was Easter, there was like a mission or an event for children I went along to. At age 11, I realized, I guess for the first time, that Jesus died for my sins, and that actually I wasn't okay with God. That there was a barrier in the way of sin, and either I let Jesus pay for my sin, or I paid for my sin completely. And that meant that if I asked God the Father to forgive my sins because Jesus' death, that I could be forgiven, and I could come into heaven. And that was a great and a marvelous offer, and I just jumped at the chance of taking it. But as a child, I was quite a worrier. And so I used to have some thoughts through my head after I became a Christian, saying something like this. Did I really become a Christian? Did I really mean it when I said it? When I prayed that prayer to Jesus, did I really mean it? Did I do it right? Did I leave something out really important that I should have put in? Am I really a Christian? I was a bit of a worrier back then, probably a little bit of a worrier now, but less so. But 2 years later, in 1989, I'm a bit old, a famous American evangelist called Billy Graham was holding a series of evangelistic talks in London, and they were being broadcast live to Liverpool. And I was 13 at the time, and our youth group went along. And after Billy Graham's talk, he invited people to walk to the front of the hall in order to accept Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And even though I'd become a Christian 2 years ago, I went forward because I thought to myself, well, this is really important. Eternal life with God is vitally important. I want to make sure I've done this right, so I'll have another stab at it, and to make sure I was a real Christian. And you know what? I don't think my experience is unique. Whether you're a child or an adult, I'm sure that there's some of us here who think to themselves, okay, I know I put my trust in Jesus, but did I do it right? Or did I really mean it? Perhaps you're a worrier like me, and you ask those questions, did I do it right? Did I really mean it? Or perhaps you're really struggling with sin and you think to yourself, well, actually, real Christians don't struggle with sin. And I'm struggling with sin. Am I a real Christian? Did it work when I prayed that prayer? Did it really work? Or perhaps, so how can we be sure we are real Christians? And if that's something you've ever asked yourself, then God inspired Paul to write to 1 Thessalonians with us in mind. And that's an amazing thought, isn't it? That God knew that we were going to go through these things and inspired a letter to be written to the Thessalonians, but also to be written to us. And God wants to speak to us now, and if we are trusting in Jesus, he wants to reassure all Christians that they are real Christians. That's what the whole point of 1 Thessalonians is all about. As Angela said, there's a bit of a background to 1 Thessalonians. Hardly any people had in the Greek city of Thessalonica had heard of Jesus. But Paul had visited the city and for maybe 2 or 3 weeks had told people that they could have their sins forgiven and friendship with God if they trusted in Jesus. But not everyone wanted to trust in Jesus. And so they started a riot and they drove Paul out of town. And Paul left a church that was basically 2 or 3 weeks old. They were baby Christians. So should we ever leave a literal baby that's 2 to 3 weeks old on its own? What do you think?
No.
That's not a good thing. But Paul was forced to leave a baby church 2 or 3 weeks old in Thessalonica on their own. And the people who hated the good news of Jesus hated that church. And so baby Christians in the city experienced lots of bad things because they were followers of Jesus. But for some reason, Paul wasn't able to go back to the city, but he wanted to encourage the church. And so when you experience suffering and hardship for following Jesus, it can make you wonder if you are a real Christian. And so Paul wrote a letter to the church to encourage them that they were real Christians. And Paul pointed to 4 signs that they were actually real Christians. And Paul wanted those words in his letter to encourage people that they were real Christians. Now, we need to remind ourselves of something before we start looking at what Paul said about the 4 signs of being a real Christian. Paul knew that this church in the city of Thessalonica and had kept up to date with what this church was going through. And these were the signs he saw in these churches, these 4 signs of a real Christian. And those signs just really encouraged him. He was really encouraged that he could see signs that they were real Christians. So chapter 1 is meant to be an encouragement. Children, can I let you into a secret? There are generally 2 types of adults, including your parents. One type of adult is like Tigger from Winnie the Pooh, and they're always positive and they're always bouncy. So as the Disney song goes, they're bouncy, trouncy, flouncy, pouncy, fun, 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 fun. I know you can't believe your parents are fun, 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 but generally you get the idea. But the other type of adults, is like Eeyore, and if you've watched the Disney film, it's like, oh, everything's gloomy, I'm rubbish, oh, it's really bad, the glass is half empty, oh, poor me. And some of us are like that. Now, if you're children, can you put your hands up if you think your parents are like Tigger? Hands up. Okay. Hands up, put hands down. Hands up if you think your parents are a bit like Eeyore. Okay. Some of you are going to get dessert after Sunday lunch today, and some of you aren't. So I'll let you into the secret. You can work out which one is which. And can I let you into a secret? Both Angela and I are probably a bit more like Eeyore rather than Tigger. But if you class yourself as an Eeyore kind of person, then you can hear these signs we're going to have a look at and think to yourself, well, you know, none of them apply to me. I don't have that sign or that one or that one. I can't be a Christian. And if you do that, what you're doing is you're using the signs in the wrong way because they were never meant to set, God never said them to set up to fail. They're meant to set up to encourage us. So it's a bit like using a mobile phone to hammer in a nail. It was never designed to hammer in a nail. Or it might be like using a hammer to make a mobile phone call. So hang on, let me take this. Hello? No, I'm in a sermon. I can't talk. No, I'm being very boring. Yeah, I'll call you later. See you. Bye-bye. I can't never get reception in the Octagon. But and so if we use the four signs as a discouragement, say we failed them, we're using it like a hammer to make a mobile phone call. That's what we're doing. And God never meant that to happen. And so one of the things we need to remember is that we're not the best judge of whether the signs describe us. The Thessalonians needed Paul, someone who was outside, to come in and to point out the signs that they were real Christians because he saw those signs more clearly. And so we need someone on the outside, good, godly Christian friends, to point them out to us and to encourage us, particularly if we are Christian Eeyore characters, which, according to lots of the children, most of us are. And so if you are perhaps more like a Christian Tigger, then us Christian Eeyores need you to encourage us. And when you see one of these signs in us, we need you to tell us and encourage us that we are real Christians. And what would be awesome this week is that if there were loads of chats over coffee or phone calls or emails or text messages whizzing between the people of this church saying, be encouraged, I saw this sign in you. Be encouraged that you are a real Christian. Okay, here are the signs. First, real Christians say sorry to God. So Paul doesn't think the Thessalonians are real Christians. He knows they are real Christians. But how does he know? Well, he knows because when they first heard about Jesus, they realized they were living wrongly and were deeply sorry about it. Have a look at verses 5 and 6, 4, 5, 6. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. In other words, you are a real Christian. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. And so when the Thessalonians heard about Jesus, it wasn't just words. They were powerful words spoken by the Holy Spirit, bringing deep conviction. In other words, that means that they were really sad for all the ways that they had upset God. That's what deep conviction means. And real Christians continue to say sorry, not only once when they become followers of Jesus, but also again and again and again, because we fail God every day. We make him sad every day by the things that we say and do and think. Real Christians continue to say sorry frequently. And so if you think you can't be a real Christian because you're increasingly aware of all the times you upset God and you have to say sorry to him all the time, ironically, and I know it sounds strange, but that is a good sign. Paul says that is a great sign. It's a great sign because it's a sign that you are a real Christian, because real Christians say sorry to God not just once at the beginning of the Christian life, but again and again and again and again. So second, real Christians put up with suffering. You know, it wasn't very easy for the Thessalonians to become followers of Jesus, and they found it harder than we find it. So for example, some of them died because they were followers of Jesus. Can you believe that? Some Christians died because they were killed by other people because they followed Jesus. And the Thessalonians continued to follow Jesus even though it was costly, and that's a good sign. Have a look at verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering and with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So putting up with suffering because you follow Jesus is a really good sign that you are a real Christian. Well, why? Well, it's because you're in really good company. The Apostle Paul, who wrote almost 30% of the New Testament, put up with the suffering because he followed Jesus, and he was the real deal. Not only that, even Jesus put up with suffering for telling people they needed to trust in him. So if your life matches the life of the Lord Jesus, that is a very, very, very good sign. It's a very good sign that you're a real Christian. In fact, it's probably the best sign ever, because Jesus is the person we are following. But you know, there's times in England where we don't suffer much as Christians. Well, does that mean that we can't use this sign? Well, no, it doesn't. What we can do is broaden the category out from suffering because we follow Jesus, to maybe just putting up with hardship because we follow Jesus. And so I'm so encouraged. I see so many people in this church putting up with hardship because they continue to follow Jesus. Some of you are not having a great time in terms of your health, and that's been happening a long time, and yet you're not giving up on Jesus. You're continuing to follow him, and I praise God for that, because that's a sign that you're a real Christian. Not only that, some of you here might want to get married, but you're still single because you're following Jesus, and you know that Lord Jesus says that Christians should marry other Christians, and that is a really good sign that you're saying no to that and saying yes to hardship because you're following Jesus. And it shows that you're a real Christian. Third, real Christians tell others about Jesus. And so the Thessalonians were real Christians because they told other people the good news of Jesus. Just take a look at verse 8. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. And so Paul says that people went out from the church in the city of Thessalonica into the regions, their equivalent of counties, of Macedonia and Achaia, and told people the good news about Jesus, told people who didn't know the good news about Jesus already. And so it's like people going out from City Church Birmingham, telling people in Bromsgrove and Walsall and Wolverhampton and Coventry all about Jesus. That's the equivalent. And as a pastor, I'm in a privileged position to hear of times when Christians at City share their faith with others. And it's a great encouragement to hear. And if that's what you're doing, then be encouraged. That is a sign that you are a real Christian. If that's what you're doing, that's what you want to do. And that's a sign you're a real Christian, whether or not the people you talk to become Christians themselves. So fourth, real Christians change what they worship, verses 9 and 10, because everybody worships someone or something. I mean, if you're someone who wouldn't call themselves a Christian, I know that might sound a bit strange, but I would say that that includes you too. Because when I say worship, I mean spending our passion, our energy, our emotions, our money, our time on someone or something that gives meaning and significance to your life. And I think we all do that, don't we, whether we call ourselves Christians or not Christians. For an example, we live in a country that worships romantic love. We think romantic love can give us meaning and significance. So we spend all our energy and emotion and money and time on it. And if you want a little bit of evidence for that, just look at the things, the TV programs that we love so much. You know, Love Island and First Dates. Those are the things that people watch, and because they think that love is going to bring them meaning and significance. But real Christians are people who have directed their worship away from idols, which is what the Bible calls it, of things like romantic love, and onto God. Have a look at verses 9 and 10. They tell you how to turn to God from, they tell how you turn from to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And so the Christians in Thessalonica literally worship statues, a bit like this. They used to go down and they used to have a little statue there, and they used to bow down to it saying, oh, you're so great, you're so amazing. And that's what they used to literally do. If you're a bit concerned that a pastor's got something in his house, just don't worry, it's from the Lord of the Rings. It holds up my books, it's from the Argonath, if you're a real Lord of the Rings geek. It's not really an idol, although I guess Lord of the Rings could become an idol. Anyway, that's moving on. And that's what they used to do. They had little stone statues and metal statues, and they used to bow down and say, oh, we're not worthy, and we love you, and we want to worship you. But people in England don't bow down to little stone statues of gods anymore. But they do still worship other things. They worship money or physical beauty. Look how many people have gym memberships. Or they worship power or health. They even worship Aston Villa. Can you believe it? And if actually, as a slightly serious point, if you go to a football match and someone scores a goal, sometimes the crowd start going like that, don't they? That's really interesting, isn't it? And other times people say, well, this is my church. Villa Park, St. Andrews is my church. Interesting, isn't it? And so they think that these things will give them meaning or significance. So they make them into idols. They take a created thing and make it the ultimate thing. And they knock God off the top spot. And so their sacrifices in their worship are their time and their money and their energy and their emotions to their idol. And as Christians, we used to be like that. And if we're honest, and if you're looking to Christianity, I want to say, let's be honest, we also as Christians often slip back into worshipping idols, not worshipping God as we should, but worshipping idols instead of the living and the true God. But if we see ourselves and others sacrificing their time and money and energy and emotions to serve the Lord Jesus, then that's a sign of encouragement. It's a sign that they are real Christians. So as we close, I'm going to set each Christian at City Church a mission. I want you to go away this week and pray that God would open your eyes to see other people at City Church who are showing one of these four signs. So just let me remind you of the four signs. Number one is real Christians say sorry to God. Sign number two is real Christians put up with suffering. Sign number three is real Christians tell others about Jesus. And sign number four is real Christians change what they worship. So hopefully you've got them. If you haven't, you always can listen to the sermon online. And then what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to pick four different people that you've seen that sign, one of those signs in them, and encourage them that you have seen that sign and that shows that they are a real Christian. And that can be over face-to-face or over a coffee. It can be on the phone or in a text message. And if you are really hot on this, if you want to be an encouragement ninja, I'd like you to try and cover all four signs. So four different people, four different signs. And if all of us did that, that would be an amazing encouragement to us as a church, wouldn't it, this week? If we all did that, four different people. Let me encourage all of us to do this by saying one last thing. If we do this, if we speak to other Christians and say, actually, what we've seen in you are the signs that you are a real Christian, so be encouraged, then we can be a bit like God this week, can't we? If you think about it, what happened was God moved Paul's heart to write the Thessalonians a letter to encourage them that they were real Christians. And we can be a bit like God as he moves our hearts to encourage those who are real Christians. And children, if you are, if you've been listening through this talk, God put you into a particular family so that you could encourage your parents that they are real Christians. They need you as you need them. So maybe this week, maybe have a look at for the next week and think to yourself, what are all those signs do I see in my parents? Do they say sorry to God? Do they worship God and not other things? And there's other two signs that I've forgotten. Do they put up with suffering and hardship? And do they tell others about Jesus? We're going to pray together. And I'm going to hand back to Andrew, I think. Yeah. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you spoke 1 Thessalonians 1, not to set up us to fail, but to encourage the church. And thank you that you speak through it today to encourage us. Please encourage us both individually and as a church that we are real Christians and a real church. We pray that this week we'd be seeking to encourage each other as we see signs that they are real Christians. And Father, pray particularly for those who are finding life tough. Pray that you might move in the hearts of others, more tier characters, to encourage them to say, actually, we see that you are a real Christian. Be encouraged. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, who you love dearly. Amen.